Good morning. Today's daf in Tanis is Yud Aleph. We are in Yud Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara is continuing a discussion that we had yesterday. The Gemara right in the middle of the Amud brings down a couple of drashas regarding the brothers and their instructions given to them by their father Yaakov Avinu as they're instructed to go back to Mitzrayim. Actually, we're going the other direction. Sorry. A lot of shuttling back and forth. We are going from Mitzrayim back up to Eretz Yisrael, and Vayomer Yaakov Levanov. Right, I'm sorry. That now I understand my confusion. Okay, two psukim that we're dealing with. Number one, Lama Tisra'u. So that was the instructions that Yaakov gave their sons, and Lama Tisra'u. And again, a difficult pasuk to translate. Our Gemara understands is that what you should do is that you should not make yourselves like you're full. In other words, don't give off the appearances that we have food, even though we actually do have food, when everyone else is struggling with food. In other words, the years of famine began. The family apparently had some sort of warehouse, some sort of surplus of food. But Yaakov tells his sons, now's not the time to show people that we have food because the people are bitsar. And that's on the heels of the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara yesterday was discussing that we are now at a period, at a stage where some people are fasting, some people are not. The Mishnah yesterday and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, right, finally we made it to the next series of Mishnahs in the Masechta, and the Mishnah described that what happens when you get to the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan and there's no rain, so under those circumstances, so we're not going to hit the panic button, but there's a concern, and so the concern is going to ask the Yechidim, individuals to fast. The Yechidim are the Chachamim. We had a discussion yesterday, who can be counted amongst the Yechidim in terms of fasting. Even if you're not such a Talmid Chacham, can you accept upon yourself to fast? And, you know, for this purpose, call yourself a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara deliberated that point. But there's a situation where some people are fasting, some people aren't fasting. So the Gemara says that derech eretz. In other words, if people are fasting and you're around them, so don't make them feel bad. Don't start really enjoying yourself in front of people who are fasting. Okay, that's the basic point of yesterday. And so the Gemara recorded a drasha that spoke to that idea. While we were there, so al tirgazu baderech. So this is now later in the episode where Yosef makes the big reveal to the brothers and Yosef, and he says, "Look, you're gonna go back home. I'm asking you to go get dad." Al tirgazu baderech. What does that mean? Al tirgazu baderech. Again, difficult pasuk to translate. So the Gemara yesterday gave two pshatim. So one pshat is that offered by Rebbe Lazar is that don't get involved in halacha. Don't get involved in halachic discourse on your way there. Gemara yesterday made a distinction between just girsa, just going over Gemaras versus iyun versus analysis. Anyway, but that's what he told them. A secondary pshat, which is right now what we are discussing, by Masi Satana. So we're going to pick it up right here. So by Masi Satana, this is another pshat of Al Tirgazu Baderech. So it is about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Yud Amud Beis. So Al Tirgazu, I'm sorry, by Masi Satana, Al Tifsu Psiagasa. V'ichnisu Chamalair. Okay, so in the Braisa, so two things. Number one, don't take those really large steps. Those large steps are bad. And make sure that you see the sun when you get into the city. In other words, travel during the daytime, not at night. And the Gemara goes over both of these points. Al tifsu psiagasa, damar mar psiagasa, and tells echad mechamesh meos memorinav shel adam. So what happens is that if you take those large steps speaks to arrogance, and what you're going to do is you're going to lose some of your eyesight. The Gemara actually gives us a ratio of 500th of your eyesight. Okay. Let's just one. V'ichnisu chama le'ir. And also make sure that you're traveling during the day. When traveling, make sure that you're in a state of kitov, right? Kitov, Rashi says, is a reference to Maisa Bracious. Vayar lokim esa or kitov. In other words, make sure there's daylight outside. Shenemar aboka or vanashim shuchu. Okay, and it was daytime. So fine. So in other words, travel during the daytime. Good. So those are the instructions that were given by Yosef to the brothers. In other words, in terms of your travels back to Eretz Yisrael. So and Al Tirgazu. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rabbi Chiya. Hamalach baderech al yochel Yosef mishnei Ravon. Okay. Now while traveling, so what should your meals look like? Okay. So do not tell the airline industry what we're about to learn together. Although apparently they heard this already. So okay. Okay. So, Sorry. That was gratuitous. The Hamahalach Bederach, so when you're traveling, so Al Yochel Yosef Mishnei Ravon, so don't eat more than you would during a famine, meaning you should be extraordinarily conservative, sparing about what you actually put into your mouth. So my timer. So the Gemara now wants to know, so why? So why should you not really enjoy yourself and really fresh while you're traveling? So the Gemara says there are really two explanations that are given for this statement. So number one, Hacha Targima over here in Bavel. So the way we understand it is Mishum Ma'ayana. So the what's going to happen is that your intestines, your GI tract. So in other words, when you're traveling, so you're walking. I know, you know, when we travel, we don't walk, but... So, and the Gemara's, or whatever, we're going to get to that in the Gemara in just a moment. But anyway, basically what's going to happen over here is that you're exerting. And what's going to happen if you eat a lot? So we all know. So you eat a lot and you try to exert afterwards, so that's called cramps. So that's one concern, says the Gemara. But Marava, Amre, now in Eretz Yisrael, they also had this Mesorah, but they had a different explanation. And Mishum Mazone, and their explanation is that, look, you're traveling, so that means to say that you don't know where the next rest stop is. Okay, so we have this thing called rest stops right now. But back in the day, so when you traveled, that wasn't a guarantee. And so, okay, so my Beinai Week, Beinai, the Gemara now points out there's going to be nafkaminas based on our explanation, ours meaning Bavel, or their explanation, Eretz Yisrael. Diyasa Barava. So let's say you're traveling on a boat, or in modern terms, you're traveling on a plane. So now, is there a concern about where your next meal is going to come from? Sure. Is there a concern about exerting yourself? No, you're sitting. Okay, good. That's one nafkamina. Inami, the Gemara gives a second one. Dekazel, me avna la avna. You're going from station to station. So, right, in other words, there are pits, there are 7-Elevens along the way. Okay, so, okay, modern translation. So so you are actually traveling, meaning you're walking, you're exerting on the, so if your concern was cramping, so then that's a concern. But if your concern is you don't know where your next meal is going to come, well, you know, there's a 7-Eleven along the way. Rav Papa called Parso, Achel Chadarifta. So Rav Papa, as he was traveling, so he would be eating, frequently. In fact, he would be having a loaf of bread every Parso that he traveled. So Kasavar Mishumayana. So first of all, he was not worried about his next meal, meaning for whatever reason, that was not part of his Mesorah. So that wasn't his concern, which kind of makes sense, meaning he's from Bavel, and in Bavel, that was their tradition in terms of what the concern was. What about cramping up? That didn't bother him as well. Rashi writes over here. That's fantastic. Rashi writes, I'm reading, it's the fourth line down. So he was only concerned about cramping up. And he personally just wasn't worried about it. Why? Dabal Betanhu or Baal Basarhu? Because he happened to have been a really large man. I know that's a lot of details about a person, but the Gemara has this tradition. Rashi has it. So, Inyan Acher Kreso Rachva Kedisa Bab Metzia. In fact, Rashi's quoting the Gemara in Bab Metzia that tells us that he was a very large person. Right? Just recently, we spent a little bit of time with Rav Papa. Right? His struggles as a Rebbe. Remember just a couple days ago, we talked about how he was giving Shira, he was following up Rava. Rava was first giving Shira in the Beis Medrash, and then he was following up Rava, and Rava was a really hard act to follow, and Rav Papa struggled. In other words, the students who heard Shira from Rava and now hearing Shira from Rav Papa, so they weren't as receptive to that which Rav Papa had to say. Anyway, so he struggled a little bit as a Rebbe, but we also know, I mentioned back then, I'll mention it again now, we also know that financially he was a total success. He made a lot of money. And now we're given another detail about Rav Papa, and that is that he was a heavy man. So, dechachashiv, evrei de Rav Papa ki ish kvaraso l'fichach yachol l'achol harbe ve'eno mazik lo. And so therefore, he can handle food. And he wasn't worried about cramping up, he didn't cramp up. Okay, fine. All right, we're going to go on. So, Amrav Yudamarav. So we're on Yud Aleph and Adalf, we're three lines down. So, Shnei Ravon, it's years of famine, and you're Mariv Atzmo, and you act accordingly. And in other words, you're also now going to be really minimizing the amount of food that you consume. So you're going to be saved, and you're going to be saved from Misa Mishuna, an unusual death, meaning what you're doing is a good thing. I would imagine that the Gemara is describing over here somebody who could be eating a little bit more, but in other words, in line with basically the fact that everyone right now has a has a scarcity of food, a paucity of food. So therefore, he's joining the tzibur. I imagine that's what the Gemara means by this. Shenemar bara'av patchami mavis. So he is going to be saved from death. Bara'av, with in a famine. So meira'av mi baile. Now, as far as the pasuk is concerned, shouldn't the better prefix be not bara'av, but rather meira'av? Isn't that what we would expect the pasuk to say? So Allah hachikamar. So the Gemara says no. So the pshat is going like this: bischar shemariv atzma b'shnei ravon. It's because you are in a famine, meaning you're participating in the famine, meaning that you're going to minimize the amount of food that you eat. So need something mavis mashuna. So you're going to be saved from an unusual death, meaning you'll die comfortably and b'seva at a ripe old age. Amr Yish Lakish. The Gemara quotes another statement: asal adam l'shamish mitaso b'shnei ravon. Other things that you should be doing during years of famine, and that is, or here in this case, the things you should not be doing, and that is that one should not be intimate with his wife during Shnei Ra'avon. Shenemar li Yosef yulad shnei banim b'terev tavo shnasa ra'av. And we're going to see this a couple of parshios from now, that the years of famine were coming. Yosef had two sons before the famine came. All right? Uli Yosef yulad shnei banim. But the key over here is b'terev tavo shnasa ra'av, and that was before the famine came. So that means to say that once the famine came, so then he was not with his wife, he was not intimate, and they did not have children. And exactly why? So there's I would call it a simple pshat, and that would be is that when there's a scarcity of food in this world, so what you don't want to be producing is more mouths to feed. Now that would be the simplest pshat. I you probably can go deeper, and you probably can talk about how the whole world is suffering, and then you're going to be in a state of enjoyment. Anyway, what's interesting over here, Tosos makes this point, and that is that not everyone seems to be on board with this idea of not having children during years of famine. Notably, Levi. Levi seemingly did not stop having children. How do I know that? How does Tosos know that? So do the math, says Tosos. It's top Tosos over here. Because we know that Yocheved was born on the way down to Mitzrayim, right? Famously, the Gemara says elsewhere that she was born Beina Chamos. It's a Gemara in Sota. So she was born between the walls, meaning that she was born on the way down to Mitzrayim, which made up number 70, right? That was the challenge. The Torah says 70 people came down to Mitzrayim, and meanwhile, counted up, it's only 69. And so how to make up for the 70th, numerous answers, but one of the answers is that it was Yocheved. It was born on the way down. Anyway, what comes out over here is that if she was born on the way down, so obviously now in terms of when his wife was pregnant, that was during Shnei Ravon. That was during the years of famine because that's when the brothers came down. Okay. And so how is it now that the Gemara tells us and learns from Yosef that you're not allowed to be intimate with your wife, not allowed to have children during years of famine? And meanwhile, in that same time period, Levi did have children during that time period. See Tosfos. It's a short Tosfos, but his answer is interesting. It's definitely needs explanation. I'm not going to go through it right now, but anyway, there's that. Tana, we are going to go back to the Gemara. Chasuche banim mishamshim mitosem v'shnei ravon. So as much as we just got done saying that that you should not have children during years of famine, but if you're chasuche banim, literally translated as that you're lacking in children. Rashi over here understands it to mean that you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, puruvu. Right? The Gemara in Yevamos, we're going to get to it shortly enough. It's the sixth parak of the Gemara in Yevamos, talks about the mitzvah puruvu, to have a son and a daughter. So if you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah puruvu, so then you are allowed to be mishamish mita even during years of famine. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Bizmanchi soshum bitzaru pirish echad mehem. So when the Jewish people are suffering, and one person decides, you know what, I know the Jewish people right now are suffering, but I'm not participating. In other words, I'm going to exclude myself from the community. So the Gemara has got really strong words about such an individual, and we're reading them right now. So bain shle malachim, ashar shem alavim, lo la'adam. So the two malachim who accompany you, umenichin lo yedeh marosho, and they're going to put their hands on your head, v'omrim, ploni zesh, shepirsh min ha-tzibor, al yireh benachem ha-tzibor. So this person who separated himself from the community, so he should not see the comfort and he should not see consolation. Tanya Idach, the Gemara, stays on this very point and will stay on this point for a good part of today's Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes the second Braisa. Bizman shetzibur shari b'tzar, when the community is in pain. So al yamar adam elech levesi. So I'm just going to go home. V'ocha v'eshta v'shalom alecha nafshi. And I'll eat and I'll drink and I'm good. So the imosa kein alava kasavomer. Now, if for a person who does that, in other words, and does not participate with the suffering of the community, so what do we have? We have a pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'inesa sam b'simcha harog bakar. So this person, in other words, you have to see it in context, right? We did this morning earlier, but you have to see it in context. Basically, we're talking about this person who has decided that I'm not participating in the tzar of the community, but rather, I'm happy. I'm going to go home. I'm going to shecht an animal. Achol basar, I'll eat meat, v'shtos yayin. So, and I'll drink wine. Achol v'shosokim, achar namos. And anyway, look, what's going to happen? We're all going to die tomorrow anyway. So what's the point? So, maksi basrei, v'nigle, b'aznei Hashem tzvakos, imichu paru, avon azel lachem, atemusun. Okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be very unhappy with such an individual, right? And is this person going to receive a kapara? Right, the Navi asks rhetorically. All right, sounds like the answer is no. But anyway, Adkan, now that's the end of the pasuk, and the Gemara now comments, Adkan midas beinonim. Okay, now this person's not so bad. And as Rashi explains over here, he knows he's going to die tomorrow. Meaning, so on one hand, he knows that this world is temporary. Okay, so granted that he did not participate with the suffering of the community, and that's not a good thing, but it's going to get worse. Meaning, there are other people that are going to be described in the Navi. Ava b'midas rishayim maksiv. So as far as somebody who's a Rasha, right, somebody whose behavior is even worse, so just jump ahead and say for Yeshayahu. Asayu achayayim v'nispa shechar, v'aya kazeh yom achar. So the person now is going to be drinking wine, v'nisba'a. So v'nisba'a, probably from the same language as zolo v'sovei, meaning he's going to become totally intoxicated, and v'aya kazeh yom achar. And you know what, tomorrow it's going to be even better, meaning we're going to enjoy this tomorrow. So this person doesn't even believe that tomorrow we're going to die. So Maxi Basrei, Atzadik Avad Ve'in Ish Sam Alef Ki Mimnei Ara Nesaf Atzadik. And now you keep reading the Psukim, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to take away the Tzadik. Now that sounds funny. We'll take away the Tzadik, meaning we're right now describing the worst of worst behaviors of the Rishayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Tzadik. Rashi over here gives up shot. In other words, the tzaddik who has Akash Baruch Hu doesn't want him to see all the suffering going on. Akash Baruch Hu collects him. That's one pshat of Rashi. See Rashi for another pshat. Anyway, Ela Yitzar Adam Me'im Hatzibor. So what a person should do. So good. So we went over the behaviors that a person should not do. In other words, separate himself from this community. But just the opposite, a person should join the community in suffering. She came at Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says, I'll give you examples. She'd see her atzma im atzibah shenemar v'yidei Moshe chvedim v'yichuev v'yasimu tachtav v'yashav aleha. So we know that in the Milchama of Amalek, right? This is the second Masechta in a row that we made reference to the Milchama. Back in Rosh Hashanah, we talked about how his hands went up and the people had kavana, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to help them. So here in this Masechta, on Daf Yud Aleph, so what did Moshe do? He sat on a rock. V'chi lo hayalo la Moshe karachas o kesas achas leishev aleha. He couldn't sit down on the pillow. So ela kachamar Moshe ho v'Yisrael shurim b'tzar afani ayayim ahem b'tzar. So the Jewish people now are uncomfortable. They're right now in the middle of war. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sit down on a pillow? I'm not going to sit down on a pillow. But rather what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit on a rock. V'chol amatzir atzmo imatzibra zochavero b'nechem atzibra. Now if you do that, you participate in the community suffering, so you're going to see the nechama. V'shema yomar adam mi meid bi, and the person's going to then say, well, look, if I separate from myself, so who's going to testify against me? So the Gemara says there are plenty of entities that are going to testify against you. So avne beisor shal adam v'koros beisor shal adam mi'idim bo. So first of all, the stones of your house are going to testify against you. Shenemar ki evan mekir tizak uchefis me'etz ya'anena. Pasuk in Chavakuk. We looked this up also this morning. So the pasuk in Chavakuk that describes basically that the stones of your house are going to testify against you, meaning they know what's going on inside your house and they're going to testify. Debe Rabbi Shila Amri Shnei Malach Asharis Malavim Lo La Adam Hein Me'idan Alav. So two angels are going to be testifying against you, the ones that accompany you all the time. Shenemar Ki Malachav Yitzavalach Rabbi Chidka Omer Nishmaso Shal Adam Hein Me'id Alav. You know, Shama is going to testify against you. Shenemar Misho Cheves Chaykecha Shamor Pischei Picha. Okay, that which is inside of you, i.e. your neshama, so that's the one that's going to be testifying against V'yishomrim, Evarv shal adam e'idem o'shenemar, atem e'dainu Hashem. Or the limbs of your body are going to testify against you. Now, obviously, all this is meant to be understood, not by me, in terms of what exactly is testifying against you and What are the subtle differences between them? The general point of the Gemara, however, is really clear, and that is that don't think you're going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. We go on. Kel emuna ve'ein avel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is faithful. Kel emuna k'shem shenefraim nevishayim lo'olam haba afilu shel aver afilu al aver kala shosin kach nefraim and tzedikim olam hazeh al aver kala. So just like Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give retribution, it's going to be scharva onesh for all the activities of a rasha in the world to come. So too for a tzaddik, right? Nobody's perfect, and everyone's going to be making mistakes. And though for the tzaddik who in fact makes mistakes, so his payback is going to be coming in this world. Shows that me'ein aval k'shem shemasham mischar l'tzaddikim l'mabba, and the opposite is also true. Just like the tzaddik is going to receive his reward in the world to come, so afilu amitzvah kala shows then kach mashlim mischar l'rishayim b'olam hazeh afilu amitzvah kala. So when you have somebody who is basically a rasha, but again, there's nobody who is perfectly a rasha, meaning there are still some good things that he does. Akash Baruch Hu also pays him back for the good that he does, but that's in this world. Shows in tzaddik v'yasher hu. I'm sorry. Olam kol ma'asav. What just happened? Patira social adnol based. I skipped a line. Afilo amitzvah kala shosin tzaddik v'yasher hu. Okay, there we go. Sorry. So right, that's a continuation of the pasuk. The pasuk kel amuna ve'inavel. Right, and we just explained that. What does that mean? Akash Baruch Hu is faithful on schar va'onish on both sides, on the reward and on the punishment, and for the tzaddikim for the rishayim. Now the Gemara quotes the end of the pasuk tzaddik v'yasher hu. So bishap tiraso she'adam lebeis olamo kol ma'asav. Now we have the Gemara niftarim, probably should be corrected to nifratim lefanav. All your actions are going to be detailed in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'omrim lo kach v'kach asisa b'makom ploni. And this happened in the following location, beyond Ploni, on the following date. V'hu amar hein. Now, you have nothing to do but just simply acknowledge, and not just acknowledge, but you have to verbally say, yes, that's correct. V'omrim lo chasom. And not only do you have to admit, but you also have to sign. V'chosein shenemar biyad kol adam yachtom. V'lo od el shematzik alav asadim. And on top of that, we're going to note that Akash Baruch Hu's din is perfect. He's correct. Right, we call the tzedek hadin, but the Gemara's description over here is our neshama upon meeting our maker. So we are going to be experiencing tzedek hadin directly in front of the judge. Okay. All right. Adkan, that takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. The quick summary, a really quick summary, is that when the community is suffering, so we need to participate in the suffering of the community. We cannot separate ourselves from the community. Porish Minat Sibor is not good, to say the least. Okay. Amar Shmuel. We are now towards the bottom of Yad Aleph Amud Aleph. And so now, a basic discussion here, right tucked away, right in the middle of the Masechta Tanis, and that is, what should be our general attitude towards an ascetic lifestyle? In other words, withholding food and drink from us, so what should we do? So again, during when the community is bitsa'ar and there is a communal calamity that's befalling the Jewish people, so they are participation and preferably full participation of the people. Okay, and you should include yourself. That was basically the point of the Gemara up until now, but the Gemara over here is going to have a more general discussion about how should you what should our attitude be regarding fasting. So I'm Shmuel Kal Yosh Betanis Nikrachote. So Shmuel says really clearly that if you sit and fast, so you are a sinner. So Savra ki aitana detanya, and Shmuel's got a brisa that supports his viewpoint, that generally speaking, you should not be fasting. The Gemara quotes a brisa, Rabbi Lazar Kafir, Rabbi Omer, Matam Olomar, V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh. So what's going to happen with the Nazir is that he needs a kapara. He needs a kapara. He just took on Naziris. What does he need a kapara for? V'chiper eiz nefesh chata zeh. El shetzir atzma min hayayin. So what he did is he abstained. In other words, this thing called wine, it's delicious. Happens to be, I personally don't feel that way, but okay, whatever. It doesn't speak to me. It's fine. But anyway, for most people out there, so there's wine. And and this person decided, no, thank you. I'm going to abstain. And v'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. And for that, according to Rabbi Lazar Kafar, which Shmuel is subscribing to, so there's such a person is now a chote, he's a sinner. For abstention. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer, ma'azeh shelo tzir atzmo ela min hayayin, nikar chote ha-metzar atzmo, mikol davar v'davar, alachas kama v'chama. So for just abstaining from wine, you're considered a chote. So can you imagine now that you abstain from food in total, that you decide that you're going to now fast as a general policy, as a life policy, you're fasting? So such an individual for sure is going to be a chote. Okay. That's clearly the position of Shmuel. He's got a brisa supporting his position. And the Nazir serves as a base example of somebody who is considered a sinner because he's abstaining. In other words, according to Shmuel, a person should not become a Nazir. Okay? Obviously, under certain circumstances, he feels he needs to be a Nazir. But Shmuel says, but that's in case of emergency. In other words, if you really feel that that's what you need to do. But that's not the, that's not the principled lifestyle. The principled lifestyle should be someone who takes advantage of what the world has to offer. Obviously, I'll add, by the way, just as per the instructions of the Rambam, everything in moderation, but you should enjoy this world. Rav Elazar Omer Nikar Kadosh. And Rav Elazar says, no, the individual who becomes a Nazir, he's a holy person. Shenamar Kadosh Yeh Gadol Pera Se'ar Rosho. And so Rav Elazar, not to be confused, by the way, this is Rav Elazar the Amora. I know we just quoted Rav Elazar moments earlier, but that was Rav Elazar the Tana. That was a brisa supporting Shmuel. This is now Rav Elazar the Amora, who's arguing with Shmuel, and he says, no, the person who becomes a Nazir, that's a holy person. So, and the Torah describes him as a holy person. Now, the person who just abstains from wine, he's called holy. So, too, the person who abstains from all worldly pleasures, in other words, he's going to fast, so for sure he's going to be a Kaddish, he's going to be a holy person. And so over here we have now a fundamental debate between the Amoraim in terms of whether abstention is a good thing or not a good thing. Shmuel's of the position it's not a good thing, and Rav Elazar is of the position that it is something which should be praised. The person's considered a kadosh. This machlokus that we just saw between the Amoraim, so we know, this is classic, it's famous, so it extends all the way to the Rishonim. The Rishonim debate this as well. The Rambam and the Ramban also argue as to this point, as to whether a person should become a Nazir, should not become a Nazir. An ascetic lifestyle is something which is encouraged or discouraged. And as you probably can guess, the Rambam is going to be siding with Shmuel, and that the ascetic lifestyle is not something which he promotes. He discourages it, and the Ramban, on the other hand, encourages it. This machlokas takes us through the time periods. Uli Shmuel.
You're equating Nazir with asceticism?
Yeah. It's a springboard, meaning the Nazir is a partial ascetic. He's refraining from wine, and from there, so it launches into a discussion of if that's all you're doing, and the Torah is either condoning or condemning, right? That's the two viewpoints, right? Shmuel's of the position that the Torah is condemning that, and Rav Elazar is that the Torah is condoning it. Okay, but it's a springboard. So Ula Shmuel Ha'ikre Kadosh. Now, for the Amoraim, what are they going to do with what is the other Amora's support? So the Gemara goes through that. So according to Shmuel, the Torah calls it Kadosh. No, the Torah's not calling the person Kadosh. Hahu, Agido Perakai. No, it's talking about the hair, right? And at the termination, at the conclusion of Nazir, so we cut the hair and it's put under the pot where the burning part of the carbon shlamim. If you understood that, great. If not, we're going to have a Masechta talking about exactly the process of the conclusion of Naziris. But anyway, the Kadosh, the word Kadosh, is an adjective modifying not the person, but rather just his hair. Ula Rebbe Lazar HaNikra Chote. Now, according to Rebbe Lazar, who believes that the ascetic lifestyle is in fact encouraged, so what about the fact that the Torah describes a Chote? No, Hahu Desayv Nafshei. No, the word Chote in the context, meaning if you open up the Chumash and look at the Pesukim inside, Chote is because he accepted upon himself a Nazir, and he wasn't careful, and he came into contact with Tamei Meis. And now, he's got to count again. So the Chote is not him becoming a Nazir, it's him becoming a Nazir, and not being careful about being a Nazir. Right? One of the Yisurim of a Nazir is that he's not allowed to come into contact with a Meis. And he did. And for that, the Torah describes him as being a Chote. Okay. So again, Machlokus, really fundamental. Umi Amar Rav Elazar Hachi, we're on the last line of Yad Alef Amud Aleph. Rav Elazar really subscribes to this. V'hama Rav Elazar l'olam yimod adam atzmo ki'ilu kadosh ari besoch me'av. So the Gemara says now, Rav Elazar, meaning we're right now within the sheet of Rav Elazar, who just taught us that the ascetic lifestyle is encouraged. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar also says that a person should be careful, should be measured. And Ki'ilu is therefore it's born on the top of on the Amud Beis. Ki'ilu Kadosh Ari Besoch Me'av. Your stomach is a sanctuary. Okay, the Shenem Rabbi Kirbacha Kadosh V'lo Avir Be'ir V'lo Avav Be'ir. Okay, the pasuk in Hosea. But basically, make sure that you treat yourself good, that you feed yourself. So the Gemara says V'lo Kasha Hadamatzil Litzuri Nafshei Hadalamatzil Litzuri Nafshei. So the Gemara says it's a question of what you can tolerate. Meaning, if you're the kind of person right now that can fast and you're fine with it, meaning you're perfectly comfortable. So for you, so now the life of restraint, the life of abstaining, that life is encouraged. But if you're the kind of person where it's really going to take you out, it's going to knock you out, right? You fast and you're just simply not going to be able to handle it. No, for that person, Rabbi Lazar says, I don't encourage the ascetic lifestyle. For that person, your stomach is a sanctuary. Make sure you eat. Okay. So even within the sheet of Rabbi Lazar, who does encourage the Nazir lifestyle, but even Rabbi Lazar has a modified viewpoint. So even he is not an absolutist on this issue. Okay. Reish Lakish Amar, Nikra Chassid. Okay. Reish Lakish now is talking about the person who is abstaining from eating. So we have so far two descriptions of such an individual. We have Shmuel calling him a chote. We have Rav Elazar calling him a kadosh. So Reish Lakish is basically going to be on board with Rav Elazar. A different adjective to describe the individual, but still positive. Positive view, positive reviews on the person who is abstaining. Reish Lakish amar nikra chassid. He's a chassid shenemar gamal nafsho ish chassid. V'ocher she'ero. So the, fine. So for the person who is abstaining, so he has a pasuk in Mishlei describing the person as a chesed. I'm Rav Shesha Tai Bar Beirav Diyasa Betanisa Lechol Kabbalah Sheiruse. Rav Shesha says that you have these young yeshiva students who are sitting in fast days, so the dog should eat the leftovers of their food. He's coming across as if it's something that he is not appreciating, and we'll get that sentiment. We'll get that sentiment again in just a moment. Meaning that when you're a yeshiva student, so you should not be right now in a position where you're going to be fasting. It's going to really take away from your ability to concentrate and focus, and that's no good. I'm Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba in Tanasibra Bebavel, Elatisha Ba'av Bilvad. Along this line, Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba says that there is no Tanasibra in Bavel. There's no public fasting in Bavel other than Tisha B'Av by itself. Meaning, well, exactly what that means, it's up for debate. But right now I'm going to be presenting Rashi. So Rashi writes over here, Ein Tanitzibor Bebavel, Le'inyan Isuri, I'm reading the Rashi, Le'inyan Isuri Chomitanis, meaning there is no fast day that's going to take on the full facets of all aspects of fasting, of a public fast day, other than Tisha B'Av. Rashi writes, Amar Rav Yirmiya Lemilsa, Shayu Nohogen Bo Ke'ein Avelus, meaning that basically the fast is so intense, you're like an oval. Shayu ochlim ibojom v'asurim b'ni'il asasandal el tisha b'av belvad. Meaning all the inuyim, where the fast day starts the night prior, where you're taking on all the inuyim. So that's only going to be tisha b'av. Meaning the way Rashi understands it, there's still the other fast days. Meaning it's a pasuk in Navi, right? We just went through it together in Rosh Hashanah. So there's still all the other fast days. There's Shiva Sabatamas and Asar Batavis, et cetera, et cetera. But they're modified fast days, right? So we eat the night prior. There's none of the five inuyim, the five abstentions for those fast days. Meaning it's a much more subdued fast day. The only fast day that takes on the full form of a fast day. And by the way, the balance of this Masechta, we're going to be discussing it in detail. So the only one that is applicable is going to be Tisha B'Av. Now, it goes without saying Yom Kippur, right? But he doesn't have to speak about Yom Kippur. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, v'inisim es nafsho seichem. So we know that Yom Kippur takes on the full fast day requirements. Over here, Tisha B'Av, which is a, let's call it a din derabanan. It's more than a derabanan, but it's not in the Torah. So for that, that needs a comment. Okay. But again, what does this have to do with our discussion over here? Again, it fits into the line of thinking that that fasting in general is frowned upon. Meaning, we're not condoning fasting in general. And here in Bavel, the only fast day that's going to meet the full requirements of a full fast day is only going to be Tisha B'Av. That's contextually how it's fitting in our Gemara. Amr of Yirmiya, Bar Abba, Amr Yishlakish, and Tamachachim, Rashaile Shebetanis, Mimnesh, Mamai, Bamalach, Shamayim. And here, as I promised, so the Gemara here says that if you're a Talmid Chacham, so you're not allowed to fast. Meaning here, the stronger terms. Meaning it's not just, I don't recommend it, you're not allowed to. The Talmid Chacham, who needs his energy, he needs to concentrate, and so therefore he should be eating, he should not be fasting. Okay. Yeah, so that right, it's such a good point. I was thinking it, I just didn't say it. Okay, but Danny raises the point that on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, otherwise known as yesterday's Daf. So we pointed out that the first people that are fasting are going to be Yechidim, and the Gemara told us that the Yechidim are the Chachamim, are the Rabbanan. Over here, if I can gather a guess, over here when we talk about Talmid Chachamim, we're talking about students, meaning the right people who are younger, people who are still studying. Okay, but I like your question more than I like my answer. Okay, so we're going to continue. Ochlin v'shosim mishech hashecha. Okay, we're on the Amud Beis, and we are now describing that you accept upon yourself a fast. Meaning, again, we're talking about the yechidim. We're talking about individuals. So they accept upon themselves a fast. They do so the night prior. They can eat the whole night. Meaning, again, this is not a full blown Tanit Sibur. So ochlin v'shosim, that night they can eat, and then tomorrow they're going to start with the actual fast. The Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Huna. Yachir Shekiba Alav Tanis, Afilu Achav Shasa Kol Ha'ayla, Lamachar Hu Mispal Tfilas Tanis. Okay. So, statement number one. An individual who accepts upon himself a fast. Now, he could be describing our scenario over here, because that's what we are describing in our Mishnah. Also, he could just be describing in general, meaning you could take upon yourself a fast day. Again, we just spent the last 20 minutes of our Gemara talking about whether it's condoned, whether it's not condoned, but regardless of what the general attitude should be, if you accept upon yourself a fast, so that's a Kabbalah. So that's now it's a commitment. And so now you can eat the night prior, and that's exactly his point. So Achav Ashasa Kol HaLayla, and Lamachar, and then the next day, Hu Mispal Tefilas Tanis. And now what you're going to do is that you're going to be davening, and in your tefillah, so you're going to be davening, let's call it Anenu. Okay. Also later in the Masechta, we're going to go over what exactly the additions are in your Shemona Esrei when in fact it's a fast day. But right now, just for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to call it Anenu. So you're going to add Anenu into your Shemona Esrei. Okay. It certainly sounds like from our Gemara over here that when do you add Anenu in your Shemona Esrei? It sounds like whenever you're saying Shemona Esrei. Meaning with exception to Mariv, although I know that's open for debate, but I'll just say a simple pshat in the Gemara. With exception to Maariv, where you're not actually fasting the night prior. But in other words, in the morning, Shacharis and Mincha, so you'll say Anenu. Okay, Minag Ashkenaz is that we only say Anenu at Mincha and not at Shacharis, right? The basic explanation that's given is because by Shacharis, so even though you committed to fasting, but as we all know, it's not easy, it's difficult, and you may not make it to the end of the fast day. By Mincha time, however, where you can see the finish line, so there, we're a little bit more comfortable, and so therefore, then you say Anenu. Okay. So, okay, that's the Minhag Ashkenaz. Right, Sfardim, I think you say Anenu in the morning? I think so. So anyway, Lan Betanis. Okay, good. So that's the first statement to Rav Huna, you accept upon yourself the fast the night prior. So now it's a Kabbalah. You get to eat and drink the whole night, and then you start fasting the next morning. And again, the simple pshat in the Gemara is that whenever you're davening the next day, you're saying Anenu. Good. Lan b'ta'aniso. The way Rashi understands this is as follows. Okay, let's say you completed your fast of one day, and it happens to be that right now you went to bed the next night, and you didn't break your fast, and you're still fasting. Okay. So now, eno mispalo shaltanis. So Rav Huna says that the next day now, look, you already went into a second day not eating. Okay, so you know what? I'll fast for a second day. But you didn't have a Kabbalah over here. You didn't accept it upon yourself. So now you don't get to say Anenu the next day. The next day is not a fast day. You may be fasting, but it's not a fast day. That's the second statement to Rav Huna. And the Gemara now would like a little bit of analysis on the second statement to Rav Huna. I'm Rav Yosef, my Kasava Rav Huna. what exactly is Rav Huna holding? And he says, I'm going to offer you now two possibilities of what he's holding. Either Svir Olei in Besan L'Shaos, it could very well be that this is now a partial fast, meaning a fast day is a day. And over here, this is just simply part of a day. And Ein Mis'an L'Shaos. Halacha does not recognize a fast where it's only part of a day. Now, I know it's a little bit tricky over here because what have we been talking about? You accepted the fast the day prior. That night you eat and you drink, and the next day you fast. So you didn't fast the whole day. That's true. But as far as the Kabbalah is concerned, you took it upon yourself to fast a day, and it happens to be that the halacha allows you to eat the night prior. Okay, I know that's a tricky point, but that's basically, but you can't, in other words, this is one possibility in Rav Huna, you can't next morning wake up and say, I'm accepting upon myself a fast because it's not a full day. This is what the Gemara calls mis'an l'shaos. And maybe Rav Huna subscribes to the idea, ein mis'an l'shaos. It's just not halachically recognized. Alternatively, halacha does recognize it as a fast day. It just happens to be that there's a certain threshold in order to say anenu. And we haven't hit the threshold. Meaning so that it is a halachically recognized fast day, and you're going to get credited. I'm not really sure what that means, credited. But in other words, but it is halachically recognized as a fast day. It's just that for the tefillah of anenu, there needs to be a certain threshold. Okay. So those are your two possibilities of what Rav Huna could have meant. So Amarle Abaye La Olam Kesav Rav Huna Misan L'Shaos Vam Misan L'Shanos Mispal Tfilas Tanis. So Abaye says, oh, so let me tell you, Rav Yosef, that I know what Rav Huna subscribes to. Number one, so Misan L'Shaos, that you can fast even though it's only a partial day. A partial day fast is still considered a fast day. And Vam Misan L'Shaos Mispal Tfilas Tanis. And also, you could say Anenu. So basically, Abai says to Rav Yosef, you're wrong on both counts. Meaning, either of your possibilities within Rav Huna are incorrect. There is a halachically recognized partial fast day. And on top of that, you would be saying Anenu. Okay, so now, why did Rav Huna say that you don't get to say Anenu? B'shani hacha, ikashos that laila delo kiba alav mikara. And the reason why you don't get to say Anenu is because there's a Kabbalah, it's a failure of Kabbalah. In order for the fast day to be a fast day, the Kabbalah has to be done the day prior. Okay, and over here, because there was no Kabbalah, so even though you could fast for part of a day, even though you would be saying Anenu, but over here it's a failure of Kabbalah. And in order for a fast day to be registered as a fast day, you have to register the day prior. Okay, why that is, I wish I could give you a better explanation why that should be. But that's the Gemara's explanation. That's Abai's explanation within the Shita of Rav Huna. Okay. Yes. Let's do this. Let's finish up. Okay. Mar Ukva Ikal Ginzak. So Mar Ukva goes to the town of Ginzak, Balmine. And so now they got questions for him. Okay. So he's a scholar in residence. And so as such, they ask him a number of questions. So Misan L'Shaos or Ein Misan L'Shaos. So Lo Hava Biyade. So is there such a thing as fasting partial day? Okay. In other words, is there a halachic construct in which you can only have to fast the whole day, but you accept upon yourself to fast part of the day? Does that exist? So he didn't know the answer. Let's say you have earthenware jugs of a non-Jew. They used it for their wine. We rinsed it out. Can we now use it for our kosher wine? So lo hava biyade. He didn't know the answer to that as well. Okay, and Bameshi Mishmosha Kol Shiva Simeamuluim. And then finally, question number three. You know, there were seven inaugural days of the Mishkan. Right? On the eighth day, that was opening day. That was the actual days of operation, but there was a preseason, if you will. Okay, sorry for those of you who do not understand the baseball references. But anyway, and the preseason was for 7 days. Now, for those 7 days, Aaron was not serving in the base of Mikdash, Moshe was serving in the base of Mikdash for those 7 days. Now, did he wear Big Day Kahuna? Yeah, no? So, lo hava biyade. And so now, as long as we're in the baseball frame of mind, so that would be called strike three. Okay, so now, three questions that were sent to him, and he did not know the answer to all three of those questions. Okay, it's humbling. So, right? Been there. So, Vishal Bey Midrasha. So now he goes to the Beis Medrash and he asks in the Beis Medrash, "Nu, Right, I need some help over here. So Amr Leh Hilchasa Mesan Lashal. So Mespal Tfilas Tanya. So in the base measures, they told him the following. Number one, so there is such a halachic construct that you could fast for part of the day. That does halachically register. And on top of that, while you're fasting and you're davening, you're going to be saying Anenu in your tefillah. Okay, that's number one. Number two, like Abai said, meaning that was Abai's understanding of Rav Huna and the Gemara in the base medrash, so they concur. Number two, Ve'ilchus ha'kankanish l'nachrim la'achrish ne'masar chodesh mutarim. And on top of that, you have the earthenware jugs that the Goyim used for their wine. So again, you rinsed it out, and now it stayed for a year later. So now, mutarim, you could use it for your wine. This Gemara over here is a really exciting and a provocative debate in terms of you have kalim that were used for non-kosher and they're not kosherable, right? China or things like that, and so you can't kosher it. So, but if you let it sit for a year, so now could you use it now for your kosher kitchen? Okay. Our Gemara seems to suggest yes, but our Gemara is talking about wine, and wine is cold. And so, okay, I simplified a much longer discussion. But anyway, it's a debate. You ask your Rav. And Bamashimish Moshe called Zayin Yemei Miluim. And now what did Moshe do during the seven days of the Miluim, the preseason, if you will? So B'chaluk Lavan. So white garment. Now, in other words, not Big Day Kahuna, but something that was akin to Big Day Kahuna. And then just one last comment over here. So Rav Kahana Master Bechaluk Lavan Shein Lo Imra. It was white and it didn't have a hem. Okay. We'll leave it at that. Okay, good. I've got that's the end of the daf. Let's quickly recap. First half of the daf. So a number of comments. First, we discussed when traveling. So should you be eating? Should you not be eating? So the Gemara says you should not be eating while you're traveling, either because you're going to cramp up or because there are no rest stops on the way. Gemara spoke on Nafkaminas. Rav Papa pronounced and announced to the world that when he travels, he eats. Okay, good. That was the opening of today's daf. And then an assortment of statements that were made subsequently in terms of how to behave when right now you're amongst a famine or other kind of communal tragedy. So how should you conduct yourself? So so Rav Yehuda Merav said that you should be participate in the famine, meaning even if you have means, but you should really limit the amount of food that you take in. You should be together with the tzibur. Reish Lakish says that you should not have children during this time period. Yosef was served as a model lesson for that. And the Gemara then on the Amud Aleph quoted a number of Mamre Chazal talking about how you should be mishtatef im tzibur. If the community is suffering, so you should participate in the community. You should be part and parcel of the community. And that took us through most of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. On the bottom of the Amud, fundamental debate between the Amoraim, Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar, is that in general, should the person be leading a ascetic lifestyle? Shmuel says no. Rebbe Lazar says yes. But even that yes of Rebbe Lazar is modified. Good? And that takes us to the Amud Beis. And Reish Lakish seems to be on board with Rav Elazar, that an ascetic lifestyle is something which is, if you can do it, he would promote it. Okay, and Talmid Chachamim, so they are discouraged from fasting, meaning Talmid Chachamim should eat. Good. And then finally, our last thing that we discussed today is this idea of Mis'an L'Shaos, meaning that you take upon yourself a fast, but not a fast a full day. Again, we're not talking about the public fast days or fast days that are commemorating Churban Beis HaMikdash. There are no options there. We fast the whole day. And the whole day usually means from morning until night, but in other words, that's not optional. But if you take upon yourself an optional fast, is there an institution, is there a construct of fasting for just part of the day? Mis'an L'Shaos. So, yes or no? Rav Huna said, well, Rav Huna was unclear. Rav Huna made a comment, but it was unclear whether or not he subscribed to it or not. The Amoraim within Rav Huna, and specifically Abaye, is of the position that Rav Huna does hold of a partial fast day. And during that partial fast day, when you're davening, you're going to be saying Anenu. So what did Rav Huna say? That the Rav Huna made a comment that sounded like he doesn't subscribe to it? No. Rav Huna, according to Abaye, was of the position that if you didn't take a Kabbalah, meaning if you don't have a proper Kabbalah of that fast day, the day prior, even if it's only a partial fast day, so then it's not recognized as a fast day. So Abaye understood that it was a failure of a Kabbalah. And then finally, Mar Ukva's visit to Ginzak, he was asked three successive questions. He didn't know the answer to all three. And he goes back and we're given a report in the base measures of what the answers are to all three of those questions.